What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the comic books we've been reading this past week. So, James, let's start off with you. What have been some of your comics that you've been reading this week?
I guess the main two that I've been reading this week were Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 24 and Star Wars Poe Dameron number 31, which was the final issue of that series. I'm going to go out on a limb here. We actually didn't discuss beforehand what we read. Yeah. I'm betting you read Poe Dameron, but did not read Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know who this Dr. Aphra thing. I'll be honest, actually, I was flicking through before I go into like, I actually thought this week was a little bit light. I was looking through the books to read on, and I'm like, okay, I'll read that one and that one and that one. And I'm like, that's only like two or three. I really had to stretch myself, I think, to have some extra ones, because it was a bit like, there's not a lot. I was a little bit, felt a little bit lax this week. There wasn't a lot kind of jumping out at me.
And I would guess that's probably Marvel staying out of the way of DC this week, because they had two major launches. They had Heroes in Crisis, which is their heroes, or certain heroes, have PTSD, and they're off in a special location where they can talk about their feelings. And then, of course, everything goes terribly wrong. That's a major launch. And Justice League Odyssey started this week, which is one of the Justice League titles. And I think even the Doomsday Clock, which is their Watchmen DC crossover, might have had an issue. And I think Marvel was just like, no, we're just, DC can have this week. We'll have other weeks. So
Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Poe Dameron, final issue.
Yeah. What do you think? I like the fact that it's set after Last Jedi, so right. It feels like we are learning, like we are evolving, that we're learning new stuff. It's not just okay, we know that, you know, it was an odd one, we're on another on a different planet and stuff, and there's like the thing of like trying to build up the First Order, and I liked it. I like the fact that it's new, and I think that you're sort of, and they're going, you know, kind of, you don't know that they're all down and all the rest of it, and Poe's exchange with Leia about, you know, what it means to be in the resistance and all the rest of it. I enjoyed this one. This was definitely probably the highlight of the week. It was a strong way to finish out, kind of finished off, and you kind of go, yeah, we definitely need this kind of comic book series for this period. Like, help fill out between this and whatever episode 9 is. Because this whole era, we need more context. We don't need to keep knowing it. We've got the resistance. We've got all this stuff going on. I like new. I like to know, especially this is an unknown territory right now.
And I'm taking a guess here, but I'm thinking that Marvel and Disney are doing this on purpose. They want this era to be kind of undefined, so that when episode 9 comes out next year, they can be like, it's a complete surprise to everybody, because nobody has any hints of what's going on. There are a couple of books here and there that kind of hinted at stuff. We had the Phasma book last time. We've got the Resistance TV show and whatnot this time. But assuming that was their motive, that we want to keep this era strictly to the movies and then we'll fill it in later, I don't think that was the right approach. I think they really needed to be pushing these stories in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, and then Force Awakens and Last Jedi, and Last Jedi and Episode 9. Mm. We need these filler stories so that when we get to Episode 9, it's not a, ooh, I was totally expecting that. It was, oh, I know who that character is, even though they haven't actually been on the screen yet, or, oh, I know their backstory. We had a tiny, tiny bit of that with Force Awakens, with Snap Wexley, who's one of the characters in this comic, where his story was kind of told in the three-part series, which the name of which I can't remember, but it was Chuck Wendig wrote it. And it was right after the Return of the Jedi. It was like, it led up to the Battle at Jakku. And we got a little bit of Snap story there, but then, of course, it was completely irrelevant.
I thought it was quite funny. I was reading through Poe Dameron, and I go, that girl looks a lot like the one out of Iron Fist. And then I'm going, was she in Star Wars? And it's like, quick Google, oh, she was in Star Wars Force Awakens, and that's who she was based on. So it was the fact that I recognized it was that thing of going, oh, yeah, she's actually, she looks so much like, I was going, that looks like it. And it was. It was that. So they have definitely gone close enough for me to recognize who she was from a comic book.
But also, You can definitely recognize the characters, Poe Dameron, Leia, all of them, but not in the same way as the core Star Wars comic has been doing for a while now, which just looks really, really bad when they do the photorealism on the face and stuff like that. So this was a much better way of doing
except
it.
Except for that one scene when he's flying in on his new ship and he's shouting back. And I'm like, well, who is he? It was really weird because I'm like, I didn't recognize the face. His face was all like, and I'm like, it was, oh, it is Poe. It's like, it wasn't until he said that it's Poe Dameron. I'm like, oh, okay. He didn't look anything like he did in this.
I kind of wish they had set that ship up a little bit better. I'm going to have to go back and reread the Gracchus, the Hutt arc, which is a character that was established earlier in the series and also appeared in the regular Star Wars series, interestingly enough. But I'm going to have to go back and see if they've shown that ship before, because that whole scene actually felt a little bit Deus Ex Machina. And also just that scene in general. So for context for our listeners, the surviving members of Black Squadron, which is Snap and then the two women, it's just Snap and his girlfriend / future wife, baby mama. I'm not actually sure what their relationship is. I just know they're a couple. They're flying X-Wings against what looks like 300 TIE fighters. And that one scene, I was like, you might be overselling it just a little bit, because it's one of those scenes where you look at it and you go, okay, those TIE fighters don't even have to do anything. They just all fire their blasters at once.
Yeah.
And it will just be a literal wall of lasers. And that's the end of the fight. They're just going to explode. Two dead X-Wings right there. So they ramped that one up just a little too much for me to believe that they stood a chance of surviving more than 5 seconds against those TIE fighters. But if you eliminate that, if you just kind of roll with it, then it at the very least, it was a fun sequence.
Okay, so what about the Dr. Aphra?
So I'll only talk about Dr. Aphra very briefly. This is actually the end of a story arc. And it's not one of the better issues. It's them escaping from the flaming wreckage of a jail / space station. Dr. Aphra has one of her massively convoluted plans of tricking people into helping her. And it's the culmination of a lot of different plot points, probably to clear the deck for issue number 25 coming next month, which will feature her reuniting with Darth Vader, because she was originally introduced in his series back in 2015. And for anyone who's read that series knows, this is not going to be a reunion that Aphra is going to walk away from in particularly good condition. She has pissed off the darkest Lord of the Sith. So we'll see what happens. 25 will probably be a better issue than this one, but this one is mostly just setting up the pieces for the confrontation. And I don't know, it doesn't really stand on its own all that well. And it's definitely not a starting point. If you haven't been reading Dr. Aphra, this is not the issue to start on. Even without that, it is either the end of a story arc or the second to the penultimate issue to the story arc. And just jumping in is not going to make even the slightest bit of sense. So kind of a miss month for Dr. Aphra.
I also read an awful book that was the Iron Man / Thor Infinity Warps thing.
Iron Hammer, right? Oh, I did not read that. I didn't even. After browsing, what was it? Secrets, Soldier Supreme last week, which I didn't even properly read. I just browsed in the comic store. I was like, no, I'm not even. I didn't even look at this book. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing, and then moved right along. So tell us.
I read it because it was like, I felt like it was like I was short of an issue or two, and I'm like, I read it, and I'm like, this is awful. It's just. This is called just, we're trying to make some stuff up to try and bring some more. You've got like this guy, that he's an Asgardian, but he's on Earth and then he gets damaged. So they have to put a suit on him. And it's not like, oh, let's put on the Iron Man 1 suit. That's clunky. It's like, no, let's give him the first, this dwarf has managed to do, and he's got a hammer and he takes on this. And it was just awful. It was like, trying to do an origin story for Thor and Iron Man all in the same thing at the same time, because they're now one person, because Gamora's warped time. It's like, no, I'm out of this series. I'm dumping the lot. I'm not doing a single. This is just awful. It's just like, this is just trying to create stuff for the sake of creating stuff. And they're hoping that this, and it's like, nah, this is just messy, awkward, and it doesn't even look great. And it's like, yeah, no, this was a really bad comic. And I don't say that very often, but I really didn't enjoy it. And it was like, yeah, this is awful.
Yeah, like I said last week, I'm going to glance at Weapon Hex, which is the Scarlet Witch X-23 crossover, but I'm definitely going to be looking at it in the store before I put money down on it, because the Infinity Warps are not off to a good start. And it's not a terrible idea in theory. It's just, it's not a book that needed its own like bunch of mini series, even if they're only two issues long each. It's just like, you could have done this in a one shot.
It's
with
way too overforced. It's being, it feels like it's being pushed down everyone's throats, and I don't think it's working. And this stuff's just going to get relegated to this, and they'll dump it. I'm sure once they start seeing the numbers coming in, it won't be around for long. But on a good note, it just does not feel like this is going anywhere. And it's just going to be dumped as soon as they can.
Yeah. So good riddance to it. I'm sure that if one of these books ends up doing okay and doesn't be terrible, then one or two of these characters might survive the transition. I said that last week. I'll probably say it every single week that they put one of these out, because that's kind of how these work. One or two characters will survive the transition, and they'll enter the Marvel Universe proper, and then they'll just kind of fade into the background unless they achieve massive success, which I doubt. Yeah. But okay, anyway, Infinity Warps. What else we got this week?
I read in Amazing Spider-Man.
Tell me about that one.
Six or seven. So basically, Boomerang is now Peter Parker's flatmate,
they established that in the first issue, right?
Yeah,
I seem to remember that.
They're having a chat, and basically, Spider-Man or Peter Parker gets invited to the special hangout bar where all the villains hang out and aren't allowed to kill each other, and the safe place for all the villains to go to. So and he's basically doing a quiz night on Spider-Man and winning it. It's quite funny in some ways, because it's very, you know, Spider-Man doesn't even appear in it. It's a very sort of centric of, but it's also setting up that Fisk is annoyed at Boomerang and he's basically put out a bounty on it. And there was little references to Star Wars. It was, it was a bit fun. It was fun. It wasn't as fun as Spider-Man and Deadpool, where they two are battling off in the Savage Land and there was a number of occasions in Deadpool Spider-Man where I did laugh out loud, and my wife did turn to me and say, "What?" And I must have laughed at her like at least three or four times. My wife goes, "What?" And I kind of explained and she just kind of looked at me like I'd just grown three heads. And was just like, "What? You're laughing at Deadpool?" It was like, yeah, I did find Spider-Man and Deadpool to be a real fun issue this week. That was, again, a good little issue.
I might have to get back into that book, because I read it back when it was first coming out. I've read the first arc or two, and I thought it was pretty good, because at the time it was being written by Joe Kelly, who wrote the original Deadpool series back in the 90s. Not the creation of Deadpool, just his first solo book. And I remember it being quite good. I don't even know who's working on it anymore. It's one of those books I honestly forget is even coming out most of the time. I think my brain just automatically skips right past it. Yeah, I might have to give it a shot, because they are a duo that actually works really well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of got the Matrix trying to bring them together, and it's not working. And it's the insults between the two of them. That's what makes it. It's the chemistry between the two characters. And how they bounce off of each other. That's what makes it. The story itself isn't. I mean, they're sat in a massive dinosaur in their belly being eaten. It's just very odd. It still makes no sense, but it's just fun. And sometimes that's what you want.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because, yeah, you've got one guy who's really good at quips and one guy who is just completely insane. And it makes for a good combo. I'll have to grant you that.
Yeah, and it was a good fun one. I think that was about it. I kind of did, like, by the time I did Poe Dameron and Spider-Man and then and I was a bit like, but that's about it. I was looking through the list and going, yeah, nothing else is appealing. I think that might just be, it was just right. A very light week.
So in addition to what I already talked about, I picked up X-Men Red, but I haven't had a chance to read that one yet. So obviously got nothing on that. I did read Extermination number 3, which is the middle issue of the Extermination story. It was mostly an action issue this month. The young Cable is still wandering around trying to pick people up. Ahab, who the mutant hunter, is around trying to kill mutants, and it looks like their lists are starting to kind of cross over. So Nate is trying to save people. Ahab's trying to kill people. The original X-Force team is kind of getting put back together. We know that there's going to be a comic series with the original X-Force team, so no big surprise there, but it is fun to see them kind of back in action. And and they just don't care. They're like, our mentor is dead. We're going to get revenge. And if you don't want to know about it, or if you think you're going to get in the way, then just leave now, because we've got a person on our team who literally just makes bombs, that her superpower is to make bombs. We've got a guy who carries swords, and we've got a woman who has luck powers in addition to various other members of the team. And it's actually a lot of fun. However, having said that, it is the third issue of like a 5 or 6 issue series. This is not the place to be starting up if you haven't already been reading. Also, if you have not been reading X-Men Gold or X-Men Blue, both of which I think are completely done now, don't even bother, because this is picking up plot threads from both of those books. And if you start out even at Extermination number 1 from like 6 weeks ago, it's not going to make sense. It really is not even going to make the slightest bit of sense. If you want to try out X-Men books, wait for Uncanny X-Men number 1, which will be coming out as soon as Extermination is done. The X-Men Red is only 8 issues so far, and that is probably the best X-Men team book that's been put out in quite some time. So I would definitely recommend those instead of Extermination. Having said that, it was a decent issue. So,
but let us know, guys, what you guys think of this week's comic books. What were you reading? Or if you've got any suggestions on ones what maybe we should check out, let us know in the comments below. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.